Switching gears, talking Yankees, baby. Brendan Cuddy joins us from NJ.com. Brendan, man, a lot of drama surrounding this Yankees-White Sox series. I mean, you know, what we saw in the cornfields, you know, another thriller last night with Joey Gallo, two-run home run in the 10th. It's really, this is a fun series, no?
Very fun. Starting off with the Field of Dreams and that atmosphere, going into last night, back and forth, all the drama. Joey Gallo finally stepping up, two home runs after a really poor start to his Yankees career, getting traded to the Yankees after the trade deadline. And then last night, the drama where Zach Britton, before the game, tells Aaron Boone, don't put me in, you know, in closer spots. I don't deserve it right now. Goes out and really has, you know, a rough situation. And the Yankees pull through, though. Chad Green making it rough as well. Albert Abreu, though, pitching well lately. You got to wonder if he might factor in some more late-inning stuff.
Let's talk about Britton for a second. You know, I've had several conversations with starting pitchers who then made their way to the bullpen. And I find this interesting. So if you're a starting pitcher, you have a schedule. You know whether you're pitching like every, you know, on the fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, whatever the case may be. So you're able to plan your week. And so, like, for example, there's a lot of starting pitchers that they don't want to drink alcohol like 2 or 3 days before their appearance. So they know they've got a window and a timetable where maybe they can enjoy a nice bottle of wine at a certain time. You know, how they work out, right? Like, work out hard these 2 days prior to the 3 days or 2 days prior to their start. It's an easier routine for them in their life, where if you're a closer, you don't know when your number's getting called, right? Like, you don't know how the game's going to play out. You don't know at what point. So you, every day, every night, you have to live your life as if your number is going to be called. And believe it or not, that is difficult for a number of pitchers. Have you had that conversation with guys who kind of go back and forth from starting pitcher to bullpen?
So you mean in terms of Albert Abreu, Abreu was a starter in the minors. The Yankees have been using him as a reliever. Britton, he's been relieving for essentially his whole major league career now. He should be used to this. That shouldn't be an issue for him. He didn't probably expect to be used last night because he had told Boone, hey, don't put me in these close spots. But, you know, you can't always get what you want. I was saying it for you guys, but it's 10 o'clock in the morning and I haven't had coffee yet. You don't want to hear that. But, he's in a rough spot. He doesn't really know, like you said, when he's going to be used, when he's not going to be used. But when you're a high leverage reliever, when you're getting paid, I think it's $13 million a year, you got to be ready to go when Boone says it's time for you to go. And he was coming off of a day's rest. The Yankees didn't pitch on Friday, but you're looking at a guy before that game with a 6.32 ERA, having blown two of his last three outings, you know, in a rough spot. And, you know, in talking to some scouts and talking to some evaluators, they say that they think Britton came back from his injury a little too early, that his stuff's been flat, that the velocity isn't there. And that's just about accurate, that the velocity's been creeping up. But like you said, you know, relievers, they should be used to, you know, knowing when they're going to come in, not knowing when they're going to come in, pitching well anyway. And that's a bit of an issue right now for Zach Britton.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a different lifestyle for them, and some of them have a more difficult time with it. Just curious, you know, why all of a sudden, again, 15 and two-third innings, and he's sitting with a 6.02 ERA. Here's another thing. I commend him for going to Boone and saying, hey, listen, don't use me right now. Something's off. You know, there's not a lot of guys that would do that. A lot of them would, and you, at the same time, you know, you might commend a guy to say, hey, listen, I'm going to work through this. But, you know, obviously he's being honest with himself. He's being honest with the club, and he's being honest with Aaron as well.
Yeah. and also in telling reporters that maybe Britton was trying to
I want to say force Boone's hand, you know, by letting the media know, because then if Boone puts Britain in that situation like he did last night, it's kind of like, hey, guys, I told him I didn't want to be here, you know. So it's kind of funky. It's kind of weird. You wonder what the conversations are behind the scenes there. Like, Boone calls down to the bullpen. Britain may not be expecting him to use him. And he gets the call and says, oh, here we go. I just told him I can't do this right now. So I've known Britain for a few years. Genuine guy, in my opinion, good guy. I think he was just being as straightforward with Boone as possible and as straight up with the team as possible. But, you know, when you start looking at late innings, Chicago White Sox, every game mattering, it might be one of those situations where, you know, Anita, you have a boss, I have a boss, where your boss says, hey, listen, man, I know you don't want to do it, but get it done. And that's what Britain was looking at last night.
Again, Brendan Cuddy joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. You can see his work all over NJ.com. Again, an exciting series with the White Sox beyond even, you know, the game that they played, you know, in the cornfields. And you and I talked about it on Friday, just how what an unbelievable job Major League Baseball did, which, by the way, I saw since I spoke to you, Major League Baseball said that they're going to do it again next year. And apparently, rumor has it, it's going to be the Cubs and the White Sox. So it'll be two Chicago teams that will play each other. I don't know if you heard the same thing.
I've seen similar things. I think that's a lot of fun. I don't think that, listen, I don't live in Chicago. I think Deep Dish Pizza's terrible. I don't know. I mean, get the bean away from me. Like, I'm good on Chicago. But I don't really know that there is such a huge rivalry there, White Sox Cubs. Like, I guess there is, right? It's not Yankees Mets. It's the level of, like, Dodgers Giants. Maybe it's around there. I don't know. I would have liked to have seen maybe Cubs Cardinals. If we're doing something like that, maybe I'd like to see Yankees Red Sox. I mean, I guess maybe MLB would be, and, you know, baseball fans as a whole would be tired of that. But yeah, White Sox Cubs, why not? It's a fun thing. You got the cornfields in the background instead of the ivy. You know, I like it. It sounds good to me. Those are two teams who both could be good again next year. The Cubs have fallen off this year, but they tend to rebound pretty quickly of late. So I'm all for it. I like doing it again. I'm interested to see what the next idea would be for Major League Baseball. Some people on Twitter, some people I follow who follow me, I don't know, I haven't had coffee yet this morning, they've thrown out the idea of Sandlot. Like, hey, if we're doing all these movie-type situations, let's do Sandlot. Now, of course, the MLB is not going to want to dump all this money into a new stadium and create this whole atmosphere again. But, I mean, hey, I would love to see a Sandlot situation where you're playing on an all-dirt infield. It looks like a backyard-type game. And I think you could sell something like that to kids who may not be playing baseball right now, you know, into some maybe some inner-city areas. I think you can say, like, hey, you know, you guys can go play just down the block and have a great time and let it look like, you know, what we're doing here. So I think the next selling point should be, you know, aimed at growing the fan base, maybe not shooting so hard at the core fans who are going to show up either way, like they did with Field of Dreams.
Brendan, really quick, I'm watching ESPN right now as I'm hosting, and they had a clip of Trey Lance, and he was talking to the media after his performance yesterday for the 49ers, and he was wearing a black Yankees hat with a bunch of little smiley faces all over the logo. Did you see that? Have you seen that hat? What is that?
I have no idea what you're describing to me. Sounds like mid-2000s hip-hop, like some Dipset G-Unit stuff. And if that's the case, I'm all for it. That was my era. I had the jean shorts to the kneecaps and the sideways hat in eighth grade. I look nuts. So I would probably wear something like that.
I'm just throwing it out there. All you Yankee fans, check it out. Trey Lance and his post-game press conference. Check out his black Yankee hat. And then it's like these embroidered smiley faces, all different colors. Very, very unique. Very interesting. Hey, before we let you go, bring us up to speed on the rest of the roster that unfortunately is not active and attractive for the Yankees right now. And let's break it down. So Gerrit Cole, Montgomery, bullpen sessions, expected to join the club next week. Yes?
Yes. You should see them pitching, I would think, in that Red Sox series. I think they'll figure out a way to get Cole and Montgomery pitching either on the doubleheader day, or maybe they'll give Cole the 9-inning game on Wednesday, hoping that he can give him 8 innings. So it might be tempting to have him throw a complete game 7. You're also looking at Anthony Rizzo, who's on the COVID IL. They expect him to be able to take some kind of cardiac exam on Monday that should clear him to perform serious baseball activities and get him off of the COVID IL. And by the way, that's standard. Anyone who goes in the COVID IL, they got to pass a heart test before they come back on. So I would expect him to come back sometime mid next week. Gary Sanchez is getting there as well, also on the COVID IL. Domingo Germán, we're still waiting on him. Chapman's still waiting on him. And Luis Severino, you got to kind of cross your fingers, pray. I don't know, man. Take your vitamins like Hulk Hogan. I don't know what I'm talking about. You got to hope that he is okay, because he went for an MRI on his shoulder. He experienced tightness on Friday night. The Yankees mm-hmm. felt they were able to drop him back in the rotation for Wednesday and have him the rest of the year. That's a potential number two starter coming back. Now you're looking at, oh no, is he done for the year? That's kind of scary. Those are the names you're looking at right now, Anita, on the radar to possibly come back sometime soon or not at all.
Yeah, fingers crossed for Severino. Anything on Kluber?
Great point. Kluber, he threw his minor league appearance on Thursday night. The numbers were garbage. But that's not what you do it for. You get on the mound to make sure that you bounce back the next day and that you're able to pitch again. He was all over the place. The breaking ball, the Kluber ball that they say, the curveball he has, was nasty. But it's been so long since he pitched in a competitive environment that he had a hard time controlling it. I think he's fine right now. I think the Yankees are holding their breath with him a little bit more than we might be, than fans might be, because with Kluber, you're kind of in a poop or get off the pot situation where you're kind of running out of time to build him up in the minor leagues to make sure he's a starter for you in September and the playoffs. So I wonder if this is so much as the Yankees being sure he's healthy versus we got to figure out what we got or else we're not going to have him at all.
Brendan, great stuff. Really do appreciate you joining us on this Sunday Fun Day. Enjoy the rest of your morning and your afternoon, my friend.
Anita, thank you so much. I really enjoy it.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.